This morning, I woke up to the sound of pings, not birds, not my son waking up, not the house creaking or the usual calm of 4 a.m., just pings, back to back, sharp, cold, 7 of them. And I swear, I thought it was a woman texting me at first. You know how your brain works when you first wake up. You squint, try to make out the glow of the screen. I thought maybe it was somebody I'd talked to, but nope, I looked closer. It was a message from my dad, a string of them. He'd sent over an article I'd already seen, one of the ones going viral again about the border, the latest executive order, some court ruling. Actually, it doesn't even matter which one anymore. They all blur. But what caught me wasn't the article. It was the fire in how he said it, the way he texted. He was mad, not debate mad, not got some thoughts mad, but mad mad. Now, if you know anything about my dad, you know I mention him a lot in these pieces. Not because he's perfect, not because we always agree, but because he is the frame, the lens I measure a lot of this country by. My dad is a starch, and I mean starch liberal, hardcore Democrat, civil rights veteran, union supporting, NAACP dues paying, PBS watching, MSNBC quoting, old black man, you know the type. He believes in America, even when it doesn't believe in him. And the thing is, if you really sat down and looked at him, his savings, his home, his income, his investments, the way he structured his life, he should be Republican, straight up. On paper, he fits their base. High net worth, owns land, military veteran, worked his whole life, no shortcuts, no handouts. He saves, he invests, he pays his taxes early. If you just saw his bank account, or the way he thinks about responsibility, he'd probably be on a Fox News panel talking about the importance of personal accountability. But he's not, because my dad remembers. He remembers his cousin getting lynched. Not a metaphor, not a story passed down through the grapevine. He was there. He remembers people in his own county, people with names he still knows, being part of the KKK. He remembers what it was like to be worried walking home at night. He remembers the smell of burning crosses. He remembers knowing the cops wouldn't help because the cops were part of the terror. And that's the dividing line. That's the gap I think a lot of people don't get when they talk about politics like it's just money or taxes or gas prices. For men like my dad, black men in their 70s, 80s, 90s who survived the South, it's not about party. It's about memory. My dad is a liberal because he can't afford to forget. And I'm his son. But we don't always see eye to eye because here's the truth. I don't believe in Boy Scouts anymore. And my dad is the last Boy Scout. That's what I call him. Have for years. Because no matter how many times this country disrespects him, no matter how many policies backtrack, no matter how many times he sees the goalposts move, he still believes in playing fair, taking the high road, giving people the benefit of the doubt. He still believes this country can be a utopia. He talks about it like it's still unfinished business. Like the blueprint is already there, and we just need time to finish building it. He believes the promise still holds, that even with all the cracks in the foundation, the dream is real, that eventually we'll get there. And I used to believe that too, but now I think we're at war. Not a war with guns, not boots on soil, not tanks rolling down streets, a bloodless civil war. That's what the Republicans got right. They said this would be a war without bullets, and they were telling the truth, because the battlefield isn't in the streets, it's in the mind. And the bullets? The bullets are thoughts, ideas, morals, narratives. And the most dangerous part is, there's no obvious bad guy. No one has done something so egregious that it can't be walked back, yet. This isn't a war of violence. It's a war of perception. Each side is trying to plant thoughts in the other's head, trying to fire a mental shot, hoping it lands deep enough to make the other side unsee what they thought they knew, to replace the enemy with understanding. But it's failing, miserably. Because nobody wants to see. Nobody wants to understand. They just want to be right. And I told my dad that. I told him, we're not arguing over policies anymore. We're arguing over reality. We're living in two different countries under the same flag. And I don't know how you reconcile that. He says, but we've made it through worse. And maybe that's true. But worse looked different. Worse had a front line. Worse had water hoses and fire bombs and dogs. worse had clarity. This is confusion. This is disorientation. This is people reading the same news and seeing different worlds. This war is quiet, digital, passive-aggressive, strategic. And it's getting louder, not with gunshots, but with comment sections and talking heads and YouTube algorithms that know how to keep you mad. And the most fucked up part? We could still walk this back. We're not past the point of no return. But the longer we don't talk, the longer we scream past each other, the longer we treat politics like religion and truth like betrayal, the closer we get to something that won't be bloodless anymore. And maybe that's what scares me most. Not that we're in a war, but that we haven't even admitted we're in one. This is The Undercurrent, powered by The Truth Project, driven by what I can't ignore.